introduction. I appreciate that. I thought I knew Denver for 20 years. But until I started coming here, I really didn't get to know him. Because he came up to me one day and he cracked me on the back of the neck. Then another day he came up and he poked me in the stomach. He came up another day and he hit me in the shoulder. And I said to someone, "What's wrong with him?" They said, "He likes you." I think I liked it, but he didn't like me so well. So last night, I got the idea that I'd get him, and he was sitting around the round table in Young's cafeteria. And I went up to him, and I took him by the neck. I said, "What do you think of that?" He said, "If you don't get your hands off me, you won't preach tomorrow." So I took my hands off of him. This is an hour when you want to settle down for a long winter's nap. John Cunningham accused me of doing that the last hour. No, I'll do that now. But I tried to do that yesterday at 2:15. I tried to get some sleep, but Frank Higginbotham's head kept coming over and hit me on the shoulder and waking me up. Brother Steve Stevens is with us today, and we're sure glad he could come down. And he took me and Anita out to lunch. Anita's with me, and appreciate Steve, and anytime you can get a meal out of Steve, boy, that's something. Glenn Lee and his wife are here, and I held a meeting down there some years ago, and I don't know if he remembers this, but we went out before time to come back to preach and went to eat and then stopped over to Kmart. And on the way back, this light was blinking. I said, "Glenn, what is that?" He said, "We're running out of gas." And we made it back just in time. The blessed hope of Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. My subject assigned me is the blessed hope, and the blessed hope we have in Christ is the promise of eternal life. There's a promise. In 1 John 5, verse 11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. There's no other way to obtain it. When we have the salvation that's in Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and then we're faithful unto death, one day we will have eternal life, but it's only through Christ." In Titus 1 and 2, there's a promise there, and hope of eternal life, with which God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. God, which cannot lie, promised that we can have eternal life. It's up to us whether we're going to have eternal life. Because God promised that we could have eternal life. In 1 John 2 and verse 25, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." In Jude, verse 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Jude says we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. So what? Why? So we can have this eternal life. In Revelation 2:10, it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And in John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There are going to be commandments to keep. We're going to have to do what he said, to become a Christian and to remain faithful to the Lord and to be faithful unto death. In coming to Christ, we must obey him. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul, as he comes up in years and close to the end of his life, says these wonderful words, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing." If we love his appearing, that means we're prepared and we're ready at his second coming. We can have that eternal life. He's the righteous judge, and he'll give it to us that day, that eternal life, that crown of righteousness. There are several things noted here that we've looked at thus far. The terms eternal life, crown of life, crown of righteousness, and a term eternal salvation, as in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, "Though he," Jesus, Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he, Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation, now watch, unto all them that obey him. Not unto all them that disobey him and keep on disobeying him, but we must be obedient. We are told of so many places by so many people today that there's nothing you can do to be saved. There's not one thing you can do to be saved. And in Acts 16, in verse 30, the Philippian jailer brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Direct opposite of what the men are telling us. The people are telling us there's nothing you can do to be saved. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they gave him a biblical and scriptural answer, and it's always answered in the scriptures with the truth. In Acts 16, 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Most people would stop there and say, "See, that's all there is." But we always need to read the next verse. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. "And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house." Now wait a minute. Just a moment ago, or a while back anyway, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And now in verse 34 he comes, "Believing in God with all of his house." There is something we need to do. It's not saving ourselves. It's not our own plan. It's not our own scheme of redemption. It's not our own works. But it is obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had a written debate with a man for a year that there are no works that save you. We're not saved by grace only, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We're not saved by our own works, Ephesians 2, 9. We're not saved by the works of the law, Galatians 2 and verse 16. But we are saved by works, the works of God. Frank talked about this morning. John 6, 28 and 29. Why is that important to understanding the blessed hope? Because if people are teaching a false plan, false doctrines, and people are based upon that and believing that and doing that, they do not have the blessed hope as much as they think they do. And that's what our job is all about, to convince them with the word of God, to teach them the truth. John 8, 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." I was sitting across the table debating a man, and he said these words, "There is no law today." And I thought, maybe I didn't hear him correctly. I'd been told that people teach this, but that's the first time anyone ever said that to me. This man was a denominational preacher. And he said, "There is no law today." And I got to thinking, well, my hearing's not as good as it used to be, because one day Anita and I were going down the hill, and we'd gotten to the red light, and we were ready to go on as soon as the light goes green, and she said, "I thought the car is steaming up." And I said, the car's steaming up. And she took hold of me like Denver does and said, "Listen, your collar's standing up." And I straightened that out. So you see, I do not hear all the time. So I said to the man, "Would you repeat that?" He said, "There's no law today." And then he said this amazing thing. "Under the Old Testament, there was law, but no grace. And under the New Testament, there's grace, but no law." He's wrong on both counts. I asked him how to know if I find grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's still working on that one. And I said to him, "If there is no law today, there is no sin, because 1 John 3, verse 4 says, sin is a transgression of the law. And if there is no law, there's no lawgiver. Galatians 6 and 2, the law of Christ. James 1, 25, the perfect law of liberty. Hebrews 9, verse 15, he's the mediator of the New Testament. So people are teaching these things, and when people are believing these things, they're based on false doctrine, and they're not saved, and they think they have a blessed hope that they do not have. In Philippians 2, 12, it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That means take the word of God and do what the Bible teaches. Follow the scriptures and do what God commands us to do. In order to have the forgiveness of sins, in order to go to heaven, we must be obedient to the gospel of Christ and faithful unto death. In John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus promised a very beautiful promise. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you can't get there without John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no way to get there and bypass Jesus Christ. My lesson has two parts: salvation present, the forgiveness of sins, and salvation eternal, the promise of eternal life. 2 Timothy 2:10 is very important. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, with a lot of the denominational world, they will not question that. They will not argue that. They will say, yes, salvation is in Christ Jesus. But here's where the problem comes in. How do you get into Christ? How do you get there? That's where the problem rests, and that's where our work begins, and that's where we need to study with people and to continue to study with them, because they say, oh, yes, salvation's in Christ. But the problem rests, how do you get in Christ? Some teach grace only, and some of these things have crept into the church. Faith only. Praying through, that you pray and you're in Christ. Believe and confess. Sign a paper. Once in a while you'll be in a grocery store and there'll be a little paper there, a track on the shelf, and you pick it up. And there's a blank there, and if you fill it out and send it in, you're saved. Join the church of your choice. Shake hands with you and say with a handshake, you're in Christ. Shake hands with you and say with a handshake, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. They're doing that now. A lot of different plans, aren't there? No water in that one at all. Is that dry cleaning? What is that? Ask if you have accepted Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior, and if you say yes, you're saved. Typing a letter on page 1 and you get to page 2 and something happened to you and you're saved. These things are being taught. What do they have to do with the blessed hope? Everything. Because people are believing them, basing their salvation upon them, and believing they have the promise of eternal life through that, and one day they'll go to heaven. The plan of salvation is simple and easy to understand. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We ought to be ashamed of the gospel, shouldn't we? We ought to preach it, teach it. Preach it when men like it, and preach it when they don't like it. 2 Timothy 4:1 and 2. We hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. We believe in Christ, John 8:24. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We're to repent. Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We're to confess Christ with our mouth that we believe with all of our heart. He is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. We're to be baptized, that is to be buried. There's no such thing as sprinkling or pouring water over you and calling that baptism, although men do it, but it's not right. There's only one. To be baptized, Acts 2:38, for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16, to have your sins washed away. And Acts 2:47, to be added to the Lord's church by the Lord. And then, if we're going to have eternal life one day, you must be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. Now, which one of these can you change and be pleasing to God? Which one of these can you turn around and twist around? I liken it unto a phone number. Up home now, I know you probably don't have this, but we have to dial if we're calling local, if we're calling in the same town, if we're calling across the street. We have to dial 1-330 and the number. And if you forget, you just dial the number. That noise comes on. And that recording comes on. She will not let you through. You have to do it right. My number, and I watch everybody take this number down, my number is 386-6582. Now, if you'd call 386-6528, you have all the numbers there. You just change the back ones. You just turn them around. You will not get Pretty Will Montgomery, will you? You won't even get Higginbotker because he's in a different place. But this zip code thing is the same way, and the email really illustrates it. You miss one little dot, one little thing in that email. It's not going through. It comes back to you and said, we tried to deliver it. We can't do it. Now, if we can't do that with phone numbers and emails and zip codes, can't we understand that we cannot change the plan of salvation and have the plan of salvation? We need to preach it the way God wants it taught. Again, in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What did the verse say, and what did the verse not say? It said he's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. It did not say he is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that do their own thing, unto all them that do what they want to, unto all them that disobey him and keep on disobeying him. We can't do that and be saved. In Galatians 1, 6 through 10, we can't pervert the gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, we need to preach and teach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because in that it says the scriptures teach this. You know when someone knocks on my door and said, we do not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you know what I say to them? And they get upset. I should have been upset with them telling me that Jesus did not die, was not buried, did not resurrect. I say to them, you do not believe the scriptures. Because they don't. And they get upset. In Jeremiah 10, 23, the problem is we have people trying to direct their own steps. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, as not a man who walketh to direct his steps. But man still tries, doesn't he? Because in Proverbs 14, 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But we like it, preacher. One of the arguments we get many times, but we like it. We like it. Is it found in the scriptures? No, but we like it. And this is what we've always done. In Matthew 15, 8 and 9, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I cannot be saved, and I cannot get to heaven, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In Mark 7 and 8, they were laying aside the commandment of God to pick up their own tradition. Do you know that that's still alive and well? That's still happening? The men and women are still laying aside the commandment of God to pick up their own tradition and teaching it to someone else, and that person believes they're saved, and they believe they have the blessed hope. They believe they can have eternal life through that, and that's where we come in to teach the gospel of Christ. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this. I need to go to the second part of the lesson, because Frank really covered a lot of this today. But when men teach their own plan of salvation, they give their own blessed hope, not Christ's blessed hope and God's blessed hope. Men are teaching such doctrines today as once saved, always saved. You cannot fall from grace. I was debating a man in 1979, and he believed this, and he even said, if I would commit adultery and never repent of it, I'd still go to heaven. Did you hear that? And this same man, denominational preacher, was accused of cheating on his wife. His wife left him. She went to stay at her mother's, and he was staying at his mother's. And one day, his wife drove down in front of the house. He came out to talk to her, and she locked all the cars at the door and took a gun and blew her brains out. And I think of those words that he said. If I commit adultery and never repent of it, I'll still go to heaven. People believe that. And people teach it to other people, and they believe it. And they think they have a blessed hope, and they do not. In Galatians 5:4, we can fall from grace. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, we can fall. In Revelation 3:5, our name can be taken out of the book of life. And in 1 John 1:7-9, we need to walk in the light. And in 2 Peter 1:5, we need to add the Christian graces to our life. For if we do those things, we'll never fall. But what if we do not do them? Men teach faith only, that faith only saves you. One man told me that faith plus nothing. Does that mean faith without repentance? And when you press them on this, then they start squirming. The Bible teaches that we are not saved by faith only, James 2:17-24. A young man wrote on a piece of paper one day in my office. He was in working on the copy machine. It wasn't long till we started talking about the gospel, salvation. And I gave him a pen and a piece of paper, and I said, here, write the plan that you teach people, the plan you obeyed, the plan that you teach people, and I'll write the plan that I can find in the scriptures. He didn't like that statement, of course, but his was found in the scriptures. So I wrote the plan of salvation. He wrote a plan of salvation. And here's what it came out to. It simply said, believe and confess Jesus, and you'll be saved. It was based upon Romans 10:9-10. I asked the young man, do you not need to repent? He said, oh, yes, you do need to repent. And he took the paper and fixed it up a little bit, but there was still no baptism on there. So people are teaching these things, and they're teaching them to other people, and they're giving them a false hope. I love Acts 22:16. I remember a young man that I came to talk to and came to his building, and I thought he'd have all the people there. I brought two with me, and he had no one with him, and he was sitting down front of the building. It was a United Brethren building. He came through the store one day, and we got to talk. I said, would you talk to me about baptism? He said, I will. I will. And I came in, and he talked to me for over 2 hours. We took Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And I just simply said to him, would you answer the following questions based on Acts 22:16? Question, was Saul saved at some other point before baptism? Question, what point was it? Question, why did he still have his sins before baptism? Question, what was Saul told to do to have his sins washed away? And for 2 hours I asked this, and for 2 hours I pressed him. And this is sad. He finally said to me, I believe Saul of Tarsus had to do that. I really do, but only him, no one else. And I took him to Mark 16:15-16, and I said to him, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And he said, I don't know why we're not teaching that. And I'm going back and ask our people why we're not teaching that. And 10 days later, he was shipped out of there. I never saw him again and got to talk to him. One very quickly sees why they do not answer these questions, for they cannot, and hold to the false doctrine that gives a false hope. It is not the blessed hope. Another doctrine men teach is that salvation comes by grace only. Ephesians 2:8-9 teaches us that's not true. We're saved by grace through faith. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 2:9. The Bible teaches that we're not saved by our own works. If we are saved by grace only, why aren't all men saved? A man wrote me a letter. I was been on the radio for 19 years, and he wrote me a letter. A preacher, a denominational preacher, wrote a letter, and he said, you taught wrong on grace. I taught the grace I'm teaching here. I said, what should I have been teaching? He said, grace only. I said, would you defend that? He said, yes. He came to the office, and on tape he defended it, and he could not defend it because he taught grace only. In a few minutes he said, there's things you need to do. Now, wait a minute. Grace only means grace only. Why aren't all men saved if we're saved by grace only? Because the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, Titus 2, verse 11. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. And if we're saved by grace only, then why aren't all men saved? And he couldn't answer that. The answer is because men are lost because they will not obey the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, verse 16. Another doctrine taught by men is that you're saved by works. You're not saved by works at all. We debated that for over a year in a written debate. True, we're not saved by our own works, Ephesians 2:9. Nor does the works of the law save us, Galatians 2:16. But we are saved by works, the works of God. In James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James 2:18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. James 2:24, you see then that how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And in John 6:28 and 29, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Belief, faith, is called a work of God. And when all works are thrown out the window, faith is thrown out. And it's impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6. So you see, people are being taught these things. Well, that's salvation eternal. We have a promise. This is going to be salvation eternal. We have the promise of eternal life. This is the second point. The Lord adds us to the church when we're baptized into Christ. Acts 2 and verse 47. Now we're in a position, in a right relationship with God. And I tell folks, baptism puts you in a right relationship with God. Faithfulness, steadfastness, obedience takes us to heaven. That's what we need to understand. And that's what all people need to understand. Acts 2:41, when 3,000 people were baptized, the very next thing it says about these folks is in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. It should not be the case that we baptize someone into Christ and we never see them again. We're to be faithful unto death. We're to be steadfast, unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It should not be the case that they're unfaithful. There are a lot of things that enter in to cause a person to be unfaithful. We need to fight the good fight of faith so we can lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12. So we can have that blessed hope. So we can have heaven. We have to fight the good fight of faith every day. And some days you fight it harder than others. But we fight it every day. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I learned something valuable in the Navy. I told my mother and dad one day, goodbye, I'm leaving. I did. I didn't like all the rules at home, so I joined the Navy. There weren't any rules in the Navy. But you know what? It was the best education I ever had. In boot camp, 13 weeks, you answered this way. Did you complete the mission? Yes, sir. Did you complete the mission? No, sir. And if he asked you why, he didn't always ask you why, but if he asked you why, no excuse, sir. Do you know that would help you in every phase of your life, everywhere you go? If in the church, in the school here, everywhere you go, in the home? No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Yes, sir. No excuse, sir. But he said, do not just be any kind of a soldier. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and endure the hardness as a good soldier of Christ. And we need to worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24. In our singing, our communion, our giving, our praying, our preaching and teaching. One man told me one time, if I banged two rocks together, God would have to accept that as music. Oh, that's not true. Because Nadab and Abihu over in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2 offered strange fire and they were burned up. And they called on me to preach that man's funeral after that. But he never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ. Have a desire to study the word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15, so we can lay hold on eternal life, so we can have that blessed hope. Study. Be a peacemaker in the church. I have worked for peace for 19 years at St. Clair Avenue. We have peace. Frank told me before I came that one or two, three times a week he'd get a phone call. He said, when Will Montgomery got there, the phone call stopped. It's the way it ought to be. The buck stops here. We work together. Work for peace. I do not want to be a preacher that everywhere he goes, he causes trouble. Be a worker in the church, John 9 and 4. And a lot of people lose track of that blessed hope because in Mark 4 and verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. A lot of the members of the body of Christ are not faithful today because they had a desire for other things. And some of the things they wanted weren't wrong in and of themselves. Oh, preacher, we have baseball and football and soccer and basketball and school activities and Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and karate, and we have to go to the bank and we have to go to the grocery store, and we have to be faithful under death if we're going to receive a crown of life. Here's something that's a haunting reading. It's not in the book, but if you'd like a copy, I'll get you a copy. It says, Around the Corner. Round the corner I have a friend in this great city that has no end. Yet days go by and weeks rush on, and before I know it, a year has gone. And I never see my old friend's face, for life is a swift and terrible race. He knows I like him just as well as in the days when I rang his bell and he rang mine. We were younger then, but now we are busy, tired men, tired with playing a game, a foolish game, tired with trying to make a name. Tomorrow I say I'll call on Jim just to show that I'm thinking of him. But tomorrow comes and tomorrow goes, and the distance between us grows and grows. And around the corner, yet miles away, here's a telegram, sir. Jim died today. And that's what we get and deserve in the end. Around the corner, there's a vanished friend. Do not get too busy for God. Do not get too busy to have your name written in the book of life, for if you do, you're way too busy. Practice pure religion of James 1:27, and know that James 4:17 says, To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Love the brethren of Hebrews 13:1, and help the brethren of Galatians 6:1 and 2 to restore them. Repent and pray for forgiveness when you sin, Acts 8:21-24, and forgive others when they repent. Luke 17:3, be a servant. Greatest thing you can do in the church, be a servant. Great servant came to teach us that, didn't he? Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. In Luke 17:10, so likewise, ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Love God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. He wants all of you. Mark 12, verse 30. And never forget John 14, 1 through 3, and John 14, 6. And if we miss heaven, we've missed it all. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I've been so impressed during our lectureship of the dedication and the obvious